Good morning. It's really good to be here. I'm excited. When Molly asked me at first, I said, no, I don't want to because I have a terrible memory problem nowadays. And anybody else have that problem? Am I the only one? Okay, so if you see me stumble and go, I have no idea what I'm going to say, just give me grace. And then she says, yeah, I'd really like you to think about it. I'm like, oh, okay. So then I prayed about it. Oh, and then God gave me something and I said, okay, but only if I can do this thing. And she's like, perfect. I love it. So here we are. And I'm excited to be here, and I know that God has good plans for us this morning. This picture behind me is a tattoo that is on my son's forearm. And I remember it was his first tattoo, and he had just, I think, just turned 18, and he gets this whole forearm thing that says redemption, and I was like, oh, wow, that's so okay. Tell me the story. And so he had told me the story at the time. But it's been a lot of years. He's in his 30s now. And so what I was thinking about, redemption just kept coming to my mind that was what I was going to be speaking about today. And so I texted him and I said, take a picture of your tattoo and send it to me. He's like, okay. And he sent it to me. And I said, now, and then I called him. I said, okay, tell me the story again. And so he was sharing that when he was 17, he was kind of in that dark spot in his life and in his walk. He'd been raised, thank you, he had been raised in the church, you know, with my husband and I, and involved did, you know, all the church stuff. But at 17, he graduated early and he moved out and actually went to help Nat and Julie Pinkerman, who used to be our youth pastors, as they were starting a church in Astoria. And the starting the church thing was great. The moving out on his own at 17, not so great. And so he was kind of going through the dark night of his soul, he said. And at the time, God really used a song. And it was a song about redemption. And it was by a band called August Burns Red. It's a screamo band. I'm like, I don't even know what that is. And so then I played it, and I was like, oh, I would never have allowed you to listen to that kind of music at my house. Because they're screaming, ah! But it was the message that God used to bring him back into relationship and start that process again. And now he's in his, mid-30s, and he's a pastor of a local church. So God used that, and he says, you know, I wanted to be able to see that redemption, because that's what God had done, is redeeming his life. And I looked up the definition of redemption is the action of saving or being saved from sin, error, or evil. And I went, okay, that's what I want. This is going to be good. You know, I think it's really easy to, I've had people say before, they say, you know, when I come to church, especially newer people, they go, when I come to church, it just seems like everybody's got their life together, and then there's me. And I'm like, oh no, that's not the truth. You just got to hear the stories. There's a story behind each and every person here. And so I really wanted today to just bring a few of the stories. I wanted to bring a dozen, and then I looked at how much time I have to speak, and I'm like, oh, dozen's not going to work then, because I don't have that long, nor would you want that. But I might do a second one at some point. We'll see. But I have the opportunity, because of a couple of volunteer things that I do, I have the opportunity to hear redemption stories often. You know, I said before that I volunteer with Drug Court. I do a stress management class with women who are whose kids are in foster care. And so they're very motivated to get their lives together. And I would say I could be teaching basket weaving, whatever. It's just the fact that I get to meet these girls and intercept in their lives. And I've always wanted to do it at the church. I've done it for 15 years. And during COVID, they shut down the courthouse where we were meeting, and they said, well, we can't have class anymore. I said, well, my church is open. So we've been here ever since, and they've never said they're moving it back. And I'm like, just don't say anything, because I love having it at the church, because then they feel comfortable coming, and it's just a wonderful thing. And now I'm working in the jail, or getting to do volunteer work. So I help with the church service on Sunday afternoons at the jail, and it's a different crowd of people, and I love it. I love it. I think it's amazing to hear the testimonies and to hear the challenges and the trials, and just to be a part of that life. It's incredible to me. So one thing I love, we used to have a Celebrate Recovery group here, which I love, faith-based recovery. It was fabulous. I loved it. And it was so cool to be a part of that. We have an AA meeting that meets here on Friday nights that just uses our building, but it's a great meeting from what I hear. And a lot of the people come to the church service here, so they're familiar with that group. And one of the things I love, well, there's several things I love about a good recovery meeting. And I want to kind of incorporate a little bit of that into our group here this morning. So if you have been a part of, you'll recognize a few of those things. And I'm excited to be a part of that, the AA meeting here today. One of the things that I love about them is that they're being accepting of people. You know, all you have to have is a desire to get clean, a desire to make a change in your life. And I love that to be part of our church, you know, that I'm here because I have a desire to grow in the Lord. I have a desire to move closer. I have a desire to see new things happening in my life. So there we go. So the first, sorry, I didn't practice this. Nope. Okay. The first one is Revelations 12:11. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And so that, you know, I grew up in a Pentecostal church. We were very, very demonstrative. And, you know, when they talked about Pentecostal people running the aisles, that was what my church was like. But a lot of that I was really embarrassed about. But what I loved was testimony night. I loved it when people in the church would get to share their stories. And you wouldn't even think about it. It's like, really? I had no idea that that was their past or their life. And so it's really fun. And so that is going to be some things that we hear today. And they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So we've got a few of my friends today from church that are going to be sharing some of their testimonies. And I just think you guys are really, really going to be blessed by it. So my first gal, come on up. We're going to sit down and do this. I don't know. Tim is insistent about sitting. So bear with me. Yes. Oh, okay, so I'm going to let you introduce yourself and share some of your testimony.
Hi, I'm Amanda Rader.
Hi, Amanda.
Hey, you guys all got
yes.
that.
See, that's something they do in recovery, and I love it. I think it's awesome.
So, well, first of all, thank you, Nadine. Be careful what you pray for, everybody, because I've prayed to be able to use my testimony a lot of times, and I now teach and do things similar to Nadine, and I approached Nadine about doing a program, and now here I am.
Yes.
So be careful, and she'll get you in. So
yes.
Thank you for this opportunity, though, because Absolutely. This is great. I'm excited to share.
Yeah. So go ahead, share us your story.
So like I said, my name's Amanda. I was born and raised out here in Columbia County in a very unique situation, actually. I was raised by three generations, my mom, my grandparents, and my great-grandparents. So much love. My great-grandfather was a retired Baptist preacher, and while we didn't attend church, church was a big part of who we were. My grandma taught me to pray every night, and it was just an amazing home. It was something that many people don't even get a chance to experience these days, and it's sad. Well, by middle of my life, my mom had found what became my stepdad, and I moved away from that home and learned a different life. Learned what most people experience. Hardship. We lived in poverty. There was a lot of drugs. And my grandparents were a constant part of my life that kept me going. But I had some exposure to some other things that were a little bit more fun when you're that age. And by my early 20s, I was using drugs. I was successful by some measures in a career. But within a year of using drugs, that career was gone, my family was gone, and I had no other way to support myself other than nefarious deeds, we'll put it that way. I was not a person that any of you would have wanted to meet, and that was not someone I am proud of today, but that is who I was in my early 20s. The drugs took over, they took hold where they were the only thing that mattered, and
pretty quickly, God used that as an opportunity to use me for something greater. Now, I didn't know it at the time, but he was about to teach me lessons and other people lessons through my experience. So I had seen a lot of people in drugs and in, you know, all just people in trouble. It's like a revolving door at the jail, right? In and out, in and out. And I thought, you get one, right? Everybody gets that slap on the wrist. So I went big. I had charges in 4 counties and 2 states. And when I got arrested, I thought, it'll be fine. It wasn't fine. By the time I got my first offer, my attorney walked in and he said, Amanda, I have some bad news. He said, the state is going to drop the charges. And I said, that's not bad news. That's great news. He goes, no. The federal government is going to pick you up tomorrow. And they're going to put it all together. And they've already given you your first offer. I was like, oh, well, what is it? 33 years.
Oh, man.
I was 23 years old at that time. 33 years was more life than I had lived. And for those of you that don't know, federal time, you don't get as much wiggle room. I would have done 33 years. I would have still been there. Almost out, but I would have still been there. Oh my gosh, I've never been more scared in my life. I did a lot of crying. I mean, like a lot of crying. And I called my grandma. Because, I mean, who else do you call, right? Call grandma, and we did a lot of crying together. And then she said, just pray. Oh, just pray. And I was like, that's easy for you to say because you're at home and I'm going away until I'm your age. But she's like, Amanda, you need to sometimes give it to him because there's nothing else that you can do. I'm like, okay, all right, fine. I hit my knees and I prayed hard. And let me tell you, the jail is not the most welcoming place for you to have feelings, emotions, or prayers. But I didn't care. I was a mess. I was on the floor. And what was great is that I knew that my entire family was doing the same thing back at home. And you know what? I don't know that it was my prayer because I'm pretty sure he was mad at me for my behavior. But I knew my grandparents were in good graces. So all of you out there that have people that are in addiction, don't stop praying because your
Amen.
Prayers save them.
Amen.
The next morning.
Yes.
Thank you to my family because I'm here today because of that.
Go for praying grandma. I love it.
And so if it weren't for them praying back at home, right, everybody was ready for my phone call to say, hey, I'm in Portland. I've been moved and I'm in my new home. But instead, in the next morning, in the early hours, my attorney walked through the door. And I was like, what are you doing here? And he said, I don't know what happened. And I don't know why this happened, but you have to sign this paper right now. And I was like, well, what is it? He goes, the state decided to make an offer that you can take before you go. And if you sign this, they can't pick you up and they can't take you anywhere. And you just go right to prison for 29 months. I was like,
it's better. It's definitely better.
Right? Whew. Send me away. Take me. And I said that day, I said, oh my gosh, Lord, you heard me and I will do anything. You put me, I was like, you must be sending me where you need me to be. So you use me.
I love it.
The first day I arrived at prison, there was a sign on the wall and it said, I'll call for baptism. I flew into that tub from the back of that room so fast. I was like, me, pick me. Right? And let me tell you, you think it's real fun being in the river. Try getting baptized in prison in like this foldable cold tub.
Yes.
Best
memorable.
Experience of my life.
Definitely memorable.
Hallelujah. Came out of there a different person. And now prison's rough. It's not fun. I'm not going to lie. I mean, it's kind of like a really mean college dorm, right? But these girls will do bad things to you, not just make fun of you. So it's one of those places you got to kind of steel yourself to, you know, to the outside world. You're not treated nice. You're not given opportunities. But I saw that there were so many needs there. There were so many girls that couldn't read, definitely didn't have any education. And I found that I was way blessed compared to a lot of them. So I prayed. And I said, God, use this time. I'm here for a while. So let's make the most of it. And all of a sudden, an ad came up for a tutor in the education building. There are 3 tutors and thousands of women. And I was a 23-year-old dropout. And I said, please, 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 please. And guess who became the tutor? Me.
Yes, Amanda.
And then I'm like, I love math. I want to write this curriculum. But, well, part of my term was that I couldn't touch computers. They gave me a computer. Not attached to the internet, obviously, but allowed me to write a curriculum that they still use at Coffee Creek today to teach math. And then I said, I'm bored on the weekends. Can we start a class? So now there's a math class that actually runs that is ran by inmates, teaching inmates, and it's kind of like it was a self-taught kind of course. And again, it's still being used there today. I found that out because I got a chance to go back and talk to them. And on the other side of the table, outside of the prison, is my grandparents and my family. Now, my grandparents, again, they grew up in this froofy world, right? Nothing bad happens. Bad people don't exist. And all of a sudden, the light of their life, their granddaughter, was a bad person who definitely existed. And it softened them to see people in a different way. Had I not experienced that, they would have still looked at people with a judgment or lesser than. Through me, they actually would come to visit and help other people in there. They were a light to those in the community. They were a light to others because they saw that, you know, bad choices exist with all of us. Just some people go bigger or go more public. I went both. But you had a chance to change. And if it weren't for the prayers of my grandma and my prayers and then the choice, and then the choice to keep it going. That was one of your questions, right? Like to stay on the path, right? I remember the promise I gave to him. You save me and I will be your hands and your feet here. There's definitely times that he tells me to do things like right now that I'm like, but then I do it, right? And you have to do that. And as long as you listen to that and you get in your routines and you stay, you know, you stay in that. Now, am I perfect and do I never mess up? Of course not.
Her children are in the audience.
Everybody messes up. Everybody falls short. I don't know how many times I relapsed. Even after my miracle, I used after I got out of prison. Crazy. How could you think, like, why would you even think to do that? But you do. So you have to surround yourself with the people that support you and love you and understand that sometimes it takes a minute to completely recover. And you got to give thanks to him because he is the reason I'm here today and my family. Oh my gosh. You know that song by Crowder, Somebody Prayed? I think that's about my grandparents because they got me out of that through prayers, 100%. So that's my story.
I love it. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Amanda. See, I mean, that kind of story, you just go, wow, I love to see God at work in people's lives. It's incredible. And she didn't mention that she is going to be starting to do GED classes for drug court that I work with. And I just think that's going to be amazing. For one thing, to have another Christian interacting in these girls' lives. But for another thing, it's really, really necessary, you know, that people complete, further their education, especially when they're going through tough times. So thank you, Amanda. That was wonderful. And I love, you know, being a grandma myself, I am just thrilled to hear about things like that because it is so important that we, as friends and family of people who struggle, that we pray, that we encourage, that we lift them up. And so I've never met her grandma, but I think I would like her very much, very, very much. Josh, I don't even know which. Can you just put the next slide? Psalms 107:2. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe. And so that's what we're doing here today. We're telling our stories. And really, I could have any of you come up here and share your story, and we would learn a lot from that interaction, I think. I just love that. Okay, I have another friend that's coming up. You might recognize her as the one that makes you coffee in the morning. Come on, join us.
Hi, I'm Lois.
Hi, Lois. We're glad to have you here this
Thank
morning.
Thank you.
Tell me about your life before any of the bad stuff happened.
I never felt like I fit in anywhere, but I had a good childhood. My mom and dad, it was clean and sober, and they never did drugs or alcohol, but I had a pretty good childhood. Mm-hmm. I just, when going to school, I just didn't feel like I fit in anywhere.
And that was hard, wasn't it?
It was really hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what did your descent into challenging behaviors and addiction, how did that happen?
How did I get there? Yeah. Well, I soon figured out that I was hanging out with drug dealers.
There you go.
Thank you. I just wanted to fit in. I just wanted to fit in with the people I was going to school with. Everybody was getting high, and I started out on pot, and I thought it was not a big deal. So then I moved up to harder stuff, and I was out there 40 years. And
did you hear that? 40 years. She is a miracle right here. So proud of her.
Keep going.
So what did that look like?
It was terrible. I hated my life. I hated the hundreds of people coming out of my doors every day because I was a drug dealer. My boyfriends would beat me up all the time, so I went through a lot of abuse. I was raped a couple times. It was a hard life. I have a son that's 26, and he looks up to me like I'm a rock star because of the using. And when he decided to try that himself, he soon realized it's not a glamorous life. It's not. I definitely didn't fit in where I thought I fit in. I thought my mom didn't know what I was doing. But you know, your moms always know what you're doing.
And her mom is in the audience.
And my
today.
Mom's in the audience. But yeah, I sold drugs, and I was abusive. I was a bully. Lots of stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. So what happened? Where did the change come about in your life?
Oh, it changed when I went to the barbecue thing we have in the summertime, and I got baptized. The pastor told me that when he lifted me out of the water, that all the using anything would go down the river, and I wouldn't have to worry about it again. And like they say, every day when you wake up is a choice. And today I choose God, and I choose to be sober. And I have 18 months right now. I got the other day, 18 months sober.
That is to be celebrated right there.
That's right.
I love it. So what are some of the rhythms that you've built into your life now to stay sober?
I have healthy friends now, people that I don't associate with anybody that uses as it's your people, places, and things.
Yeah.
And I've got a new apartment. I pay all my bills now, which I've never done. I always cry and whine till my mom paid them all. But today I pay my own bills. I'm a responsible adult.
I love that. Yes, absolutely.
And also that I'm the same person in church as I am in the community. I be the same inside and out. And I pray, and I just a lot of attitudes that I got now. And what I do in the community now is I do service work here at my church, service to my community. I'm also a sponsor. I work at a food pantry. I have service to AA. I work at the counter at the Lionel Club. I mentor people outside of the recovery field. And then on Monday, I'm going into the jails to bring my message.
I'm so excited about this. Her and our next guest are starting on Monday with a faith-based recovery group called Overcomers. And it's something that we did in the jail via Zoom during COVID, but this is our first time. The men have already started, but this is our first time that the women will be coming in. And so Lois and Laura will be bringing in recovery to the jail. And the ladies are so excited. Every week that I'm there with church service, they're like, when do we get our recovery meet? I'm like, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. So that's going to start this week, and I'm so excited that they're going to be a part of that.
So, yeah, but everything I do in the community, when they said, oh, do you want to, my sponsor's here today, and she says, do you want to do service work? I don't want to do that. I'm not getting paid. But you soon realize that you're working for God, and it's pretty amazing. It's not that I have to work at the Lionel Club. It's that I get to.
And when you say service work, what exactly does that mean?
I mentor girls that are having alcohol or drug addiction. I go on service calls, you know, if they have drugs in front of them and need help to talk them down or flush it or whatever. But I'm there for that. And I do service at the Four Square Church in Scappoose. I work at the food pantry. I just help everybody in my community because I feel that's my calling, what God sent me here to do.
Does that help you stay clean and sober?
Absolutely. I think it does more for me than it does them.
Absolutely. This is really an important thing.
Yeah.
This is a very important thing. You know, those of us outside of the recovery community might say that that's volunteer work. Or, you know, and volunteer work is so important. But it's not just what you're accomplishing wherever you're volunteering. It's what people are relying on you. You don't show up, people are going, wait, we can't get in the door? Who was supposed to be unlocking the club today? Right. What do you mean the food pantry is not open today? I've been planning all week to go there on Wednesday at noon. Whatever that would look like. You have people counting on you. You have people, and so it's, and they're, how are you doing? How are you doing, Lois? How many times do you get asked that on a Sunday morning making coffee? How are you doing, Lois?
Everybody greets me at the coffee shop.
Everybody.
That's my office.
I love that. How important that is, that those are those rhythms that she's built into her life to maintain, to maintain her sobriety. Is those rhythms, you know, those things that she just does without thinking about it. And I've known you for probably 10 years or more. And I've seen such an amazing transformation in you. A redemption story, for sure.
Yeah.
And I just love that. And how long did you say you have right now?
18 months. 18
months. Yeah. I'm telling you what, that is a miracle. That is a miracle. I'm so excited to be a part of that.
Yeah, God has just moved a miracle in my life. I never thought I'd be able to get up clean and sober. I had kind of pushed my family away, isolated when I was using, and today my mom's my best friend. She's everything to me, and I got my family back, my sister, and I lost my dad. I was still using when I lost my dad, but today I'm sober, and that's all that matters.
Yes, it is. I love that. Yay. Thank you, Lois. Yes, I'm telling you what, it's a big deal. It really is a big deal, and I'm just so thankful for what God has done in the lives of people in our community and the lives of people right here in our church. You know, so the next scripture is Isaiah 44:22, and that is, I have swept away your offenses like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. And I love that. There's another scripture that says, I have redeemed you, and I have called you by name. And I love that. And, you know, Abby, I was excited when you sang this morning, You Make Me Brave. Because Amanda, in her job, she presents. And you can tell she's a polished presenter, and I love that. But my other gals, you know, they're like, oh, this is a big deal. But they were so quick to say, yes, I would love to share my story. And I know that during that song, God makes us brave to be able to do things, even hard things. So I have another friend I'd like to have come on up. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Laura.
Hi, Laura. We are glad to have you here.
Thank you.
Morning.
I'm glad to be here. I'm terrified.
That's okay. He makes us brave, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. My story is a little different. My childhood is where my drinking and other addictions began. I grew up in trauma. There was no God in my life. The trauma was surrounding. I was molested. I suffered physical abuse. There was isolation. I had an eating disorder by the time I was 5 or 6 years old. There was addiction in my home. There was mental health issues. And learning to love and trust was associated with pain. I took my first drink at 8. By the time I was 11, I was drinking and smoking pot because I had cousins. By the time I was 15, I was a full-blown blackout drinker. For the next few years of my life, I made a lot of decisions based on having no, what is it, anything to draw upon. No, I didn't have women who could mentor me. I was seeking love and acceptance any way I could, and I made a lot of bad decisions. The one thing that stuck with me from when I was growing up was that both my mom and my dad were workaholics. The one thing that stuck with me is get a good job and pay for it yourself. And so I did. I became a workaholic and an alcoholic. I was drinking at night and working all day long, and I was successful. I made a good career out of that. But again, there's still no God in my life. Nothing to know what there's going to be any faith in other than what I could see. Everything was based on things. You know, have a home, have a job title, have an income. And then I finally decided, well, I'm incomplete. I need a man. However, that didn't present itself right away. And I went on for a while, and then 2014 is probably when I first found God. I was in a car wreck that I should not have walked away from. By the grace of God, no one else was hurt, only myself. That is when I found Jesus. That is when I first started following and believing, and the blessings were amazing. You know, my debt went away. I met my one true love. We did get married. We were involved in Celebrate Recovery. It was an amazing way for me to learn about God. But then life hit, and we became less reliant on God and more self-reliant. And at that time, I went back to drinking. My husband was an addict, and he had relapsed as well. My mom at that time, believe it or not, I was able to forgive a lot of things. A lot of it was based on because of the fact that I knew my mom had it worse than me. And then later on, I learned to forgive because she's human, and she did the best she could. And she needed me. My mom had dementia at that time. I was newly married. We had relapses. We had adult stepchildren that came into our lives that also had their addictions. And I thought I could fix all of it. I was, you know, had a few months clean and sober. I found God, and I thought I could do it all. And I could not. I had nothing to draw upon. And that is when the descent of hell started for me. They found a mass in my husband's pancreas. That mass turned out to be pancreatic cancer. My mom's dementia was advanced, and I was in a career that you could not speak of addiction. It was not accepted. It was not tolerated. And so I was suffering in silence. I was not only drinking, I started to self-medicate, and then later on I went to some harder drugs under the justification that I needed them to keep going, that I didn't have enough energy to do what I needed to do instead of turning to God. It didn't take us long to lose everything. We lost our home. I lost my career. My husband lost his career. My mom's dementia was advancing rapidly. My husband was getting sicker. You know, we were transient for a while. I still would not give up my... I took care of my mom because there was no help for us, and I was still afraid to ask for help. I lived in fear and terror and misery for such a long time. I felt that no one wanted to help me. I felt I was being punished by God, and then I attempted suicide multiple times. I was hospitalized. I came out friendless, with the exception of my husband. We ended up coming up here into St. Helens because one of my stepsons had an obligation that he needed to take care of here. So we came here. My husband was sicker. We were trying to get back to Tennessee, where his family was, which I never got to meet. So here we are. My husband passes. My mother passes. And then my stepson passes from a drug overdose. I made several attempts to try to get clean on my own. I would go in and out of the 12-step programs. I still felt God was punishing me, but I knew that there was something better for me. And I would go in and I would come out in a very short period of time. And then I believe I had walked into Foursquare early on, for the Grief Share program. And I made some connections there. that I was still fighting my addictions, wasn't able to properly grieve, friendless. But something happened here in this church. And
yes,
it did. I was probably within 3 to 5 days clean again, and out of the blue I get a phone call from Nadine, because I was considering relapse again. And she had coffee with me, prayed with me, gave me a devotional. And I have been clean and sober ever since. I grew up without knowing God, and He's my higher power. I know that I am saved through Jesus Christ. I was baptized along with several other women in recovery last 4th of July, in the Columbia River. It was a dream of mine to be baptized in a river. Prayer is very important, because before my husband died, he wrote out several prayers for me to know that I'm a strong woman capable of being loved. I am learning that. I have found that the enemy has made several strongholds in me. And so that is what I'm working on. I am allowing the Holy Spirit to guide me. I am learning how to just let the Spirit lead me and get out of my own way. You know, I am becoming God-reliant. I am learning how to be a good, godly woman. I am learning how to listen in the Scriptures. I go to meetings. I, too, get to go into a jail and help some of those women. I did hard time of 48 hours. I never want to go back. I went in an alcoholic, and I came out wanting to use drugs. It was the most miserable experience of my life, other than what happens in real life if you don't have God. He has become my strength. After my husband died, you could see me walking around muttering, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that kept one foot in front of the other. I am learning from the women who know and love God. I have been blessed with people along my way, with women who are showing me compassion, kindness, love, understanding, things that I did not have. I know how to be a good person. I am a good person. I just need to know how to use those skills that I grew up with. And that's my blessing that I have here. I go to NA meetings. I do go to the Overcomers. I needed a faith-based program, and where Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior in that. I needed that, because that is my commitment. Service work, going to the jail, overcoming my fear to tell my story.
Right, and what a good job she's doing.
I am employed full-time, and people who come up to my counter, sometimes they tell me their stories. Sometimes they give me hugs. That's the best service work I could ever do, is to listen to another person and give them love and encouragement, things that I wanted so bad in my own life. You know, unconditional love and acceptance. So.
I love that. How, right? How much clean time do you have?
I am just shy of 18 months myself. August 15th, I'll have 18 months. My clean date is 2/15/2023, and that's a recovery date for me. I've had years of abstinence, but you don't have recovery if you don't have God.
Oh, that's so good to know. That is so good. Absolutely. Love it. Yay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Miss Laura. I give you a hug. You can walk down with the Now do you see why I wanted to bring some of my friends this morning? Their stories are so incredible. I am just so thankful. You know, I remember growing up, the testimony, like I talked about the testimony thing, I would get sad because I didn't have a testimony. It was not, I was like, I was never a drug addict. I was never in jail. I was never any of those things. And I felt bad about it. And I remember one time my youth pastor, I was talking to him about it. I was like, I just wish I had a testimony. And he's like, the fact that you have lived your life without having to do any of that stuff, that's a testimony. I'm like, okay, I like that. But my testimony takes about a minute. So I love to hear these testimonies of redemption and transformation. It's so encouraging. And, you know, a couple of things I told you, you know, I just love a good recovery meeting. And a couple of the things that I love. Now, you know, everybody shares their, well, I don't know about everybody, but people are really excited about their clean time. And so they have coins that they can be presented to at a meeting, you know, recognizing that, you know, a one-year coin, a two-year coin, all of that. And they collect those, or sometimes they're a little like a keychain tag thing. It's a big deal to be able to have people celebrate you and go, amazing, that's awesome, I love that. That's a big deal. And another thing is, they had alluded to that they have sponsors and sponsees. So a sponsor is somebody that was within the recovery program that you can see, because everybody's sharing their stories there. They're not ashamed to share their stories. And somebody that you see and go, you know what, they have something, I think I can learn from them. And so you kind of get into a mentor type relationship. And it's not a lifetime thing, you know, there's different seasons with different people, but it's a big deal. For, you know, I ask the girls all the time in drug court, you know, have you talked to your sponsor about that? Have you got a sponsor yet? It'd be really important for you to get a sponsor. Sponsorship is really important. I can talk the talk because I've volunteered for it for a while and know all of that. So I think that that's something that we could incorporate into our church as well, because a lot of times, if I'm struggling, I know people that I call and go, you know what, can you walk through this with me? You know, I lost my mom a couple of months ago, and I had my lady friends that I would call and just like, this is really hard. This is really hard. And some of them just really just helped so much by praying with me, encouraging me. Maybe they had already gone through some of this stuff, and to be able to talk to me and say, okay, this is what's coming next. You know, I had the ones, especially when I was helping to care for her at the end, you know, oh, what's tomorrow going to look like? This is a terrible thing. And she, you know, her health was declining so rapidly. And just to have somebody go, oh, okay, so this is kind of where the next thing goes, and now you need to be, you know, in contact with hospice, all that kind of stuff. So just somebody that has gone before me and can help to make that path lightable for me. Same thing with sponsorship. So it's really important that you be sponsoring someone else, be helping somebody else, and that other people be, you have a sponsor, and then you have other people that you are sponsoring. Talk about accountability. When you're sponsoring somebody else, boy, you are on it. You are listening and trying to really, you know, move forward, and that's really important. And another thing is, they're really good about sharing their contact information. You know, a lot of times there'll be a phone number list that'll just go around the meeting, so people can write there if they're open to have people call them. You know, like Lois said, when somebody calls and said, I've got a drink here, I need to say no, you know, to be that crisis worker almost, that will go and sit with them or talk with them and encourage. That's a big deal to be able to do that. So to be able to do that even as a church, to be able to give your information if you'd like and just say, call me. You know, actually with Laura, it was her neighbor called me and said, I don't think Laura's doing very good. And she's a person that's in our church and just cared about her and said, she should probably give her a call. So I didn't realize that. And so I was like, call her. Hey, what's up? You know, you want to go to coffee? And I knew that God was really using that time. And that was kind of a pivotal time for her. And so don't be afraid to invite somebody out to coffee. I know there's people here in the church that are so good about just targeting. Tom and Vicky, man, they're always, you know, somebody's new, they'll, oh, I had so-and-so over for dinner. Well, they were just here for church last Sunday, first time. We've already had them over for dinner. We're taking them on the boat. We're having a good, you know, do that. Do that. We can't just be, we need to be reaching out to people. And AA style, girl, let's just do that. So anyway, I'll move on from that now. So I'm sure all of you had the opportunity a couple of weeks ago now to see that news clip that where former President Trump had an assassination attempt on his life. My husband knows I'm not a political person, all that kind of stuff, blah, 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 whatever. But he says, you know, you need to sit down, you need to watch this program, this news clip, you know, I hadn't heard about it, and I watched it, and as he's showing me the clip, I just was so struck by the part where the Secret Service, you know, just kind of surrounded him and, like, over the top of him. And, you know, they were shielding. They were using their bodies as shields. And there was people over the top, all of that. And they were moving with him to move him off of that stage. And as I watched that, I just began to tear up. And I was just like, Lord, we need to be able to do that kind of a thing for people who are broken, for people who have been injured, for people who have had something happen. And I would like to just challenge us as a church. You know, we can surround people when they're going through a hard time. We don't need to stand back in judgment and go, well, that didn't work good for you. There's a place for that as well. I'm a mom and a grandmother. You know, how'd that work for you, honey? But anyway, you know, just to be able to be like the church's Secret Service, you know, to be able to surround people and encourage them and help move them in a healthier direction. I think it's really important. I don't think anybody recovers alone. So I want to share, right? Yes. I wanted to share one of my favorite songs, and it's by For King and Country, and he tells a story, and we're going to watch the video here in a second, but there's a story of an explorer who went to a foreign land. When he got to this land, he told his men, we're going to explore the land to see what this land has to offer. When he finished explaining this, he realized none of his men wanted to follow him. They wanted to return to what was familiar and comfortable. They wanted to return to the past. The explorer gave it a few days, and then he told his generals to burn the ships. We will not go back. We will not live in the past. We will leave no option to return. To return to the past, we will see what is available in the future. Then he called all of his men to the shore. Once the way they were all accounted for, he gave the order, burn the ships. So incredible. We're going to watch this music video.
We'll be right back. so long to shame. Walk through the sorrow, out of the fire, into tomorrow. So flush the pills, face the fear, feel the weight disappear. We're coming clean.
I tell you what, is this a day when you need to make a decision to burn the ships, cut the ties, set a flare into the night, to walk away to what you've been doing that is not serving you well anymore? Is this a time when you have said, you know what, I've headed in one direction, it's not healthy for me, it's not good for me, my family is suffering, I'm suffering. Whatever that may be, this is the time. I tell you what, burn the ships, cut the ties. You don't have to continue in that way. Familiarity is hard because, you know, sometimes the hell I know is better than the hell I don't know. And so that's oftentimes why people stay in relationships that are bad. They continue in things that are wrong because they know it's familiar and they know what that feels like, and they don't know what it feels like to be free. They don't know what it feels like to you know, trudge a new path. So I just want to, let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. I thank you, Lord, that you have prepared our hearts today in worship. Lord, you have encouraged us to be brave, to walk beyond the shores and out into the waves. Father, you have given us these three ladies that have been so inspiring by sharing their stories. Lord, I'm just so thankful. Lord, you are a God of miracles. You are a God that transforms lives. And Father, I just thank you for that. Lord, I get to see it often, and I'm just always in awe. Is it perfect? No. Is there setbacks? Absolutely. Is there relapses? Absolutely. That is all part of the process, Father, for all of us. Lord, thank you that as long as we have breath, Lord, you have plans and purposes for our life. Plans to prosper us and not to harm us. Plans to give us a future and a hope. So, Father, I just am so encouraged by this morning and so encouraged by that song, you know, that there comes a point where you just have to just step into a new day. Burn the ships. Don't go back there. The Bible talks about making no provision for the flesh. Don't have that stuff just waiting just in case you need it, because you're going to need it. So help us. Show us what that looks like in our lives. And if there's anybody here that has never accepted Jesus into your life, this is a great time to do it. We're going to pray together. And if that is something that you have never done, we'll just pray with you and pray together. So we just pray, repeat after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. I realize today that I need to burn the ships. I need to move into a new day. Please forgive me of my past. Give me courage and strength to move into the future with you by my side. Actually, with you leading the ship. We'll do that one. Thank you, Lord. And if I just want to have a ministry time today. If you just say, you know what, I would love to have prayer this morning. I know we laid hands and prayed, and that's awesome, and I love that opportunity every week. But I just wanted to have an opportunity, if you would like to pray, if you would like to pray with one of my gals that has shared her story, if you would like to pray with one of the guys here that has walked through hard stuff, walked through times of challenges that unless you heard their story, you would never know that. I have some people that I've asked just to come pray. If you would like to have prayer, we're going to just meet right down here. And the rest of you can be dismissed. But if you need to burn the ships, you need to walk into a new day, come down and let us pray for you. And may the Lord just bless all of you as you go today. Thank you for coming. And come back again next week. Thank you. Come for prayer. If you need prayer, come get prayer.